Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome in, Titus.
Welcome in, Rick.
Oh, my gosh. And how was your Thanksgiving?
It wasn't bad.
And we got Christmas coming?
Yep.
And what do you want from Santa Rook? I got the beard. You're getting a little bit of gray in your beard, too.
I've always had it, because usually I don't have my beard out this long.
Oh, you've always had it?
Yeah, it's always
since comes third grade?
Yeah, or? It always comes right here. So... not always, but in the last couple of years, it started coming in right here. But when I trim it down, it doesn't. It's weird because if I let it grow out a little bit, it gets white right there. But if I don't let it grow out, it doesn't get white. I wonder what the analogy on that one is.
I don't know. Why are you making that noise?
Because I'm moving it because I'm afraid that he's going to walk and plow into it. And then
you got the gray beard, the gray in the beard going on. You going to do the Hugh Jackman chops and look like Wolverine?
No, I'm going to let it grow out a little bit further, and I think I'm going to dye it green.
I know Brian called you Wolverine this morning. That was pretty good. And then Sparky said, no, he looks more like Sabretooth.
Yeah.
And you do kind of look more like Sabretooth. And then these are names you don't know what they are.
Yep. I know who the Wolverine is.
Yeah, Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The reason why when I was a kid, those were the only comic books I ever had. I had two of those comic books because
X-Men?
I seen them out of garage sale when I was little, and then I bought them and looked through them, and they were in my bedroom for years until they got stolen.
Trooper Jeff came over to my house, and I went charging out of the front door like a bear, no shirt on, pajama bottoms, and I kind of cussed him out and stuff, and he was going to try to sell me comics. And he would always do that. He'll come around with like a shitty comic or something, and he'll go, hey, I picked this up, and I thought you'd be interested in it. And usually they're like quarter box. In comic shops, they always have like, they call it the quarter box, and it's all the comics that people sell them. And if I owned a comic shop and you brought your collection in, I'd go, okay, I'll give you $40 for the collection. Oh, I was looking at 50. Well, I'm only going to give you 40, right? Or if there's some stuff in there that I think I might make a profit on, I'll go, okay, 50 is good. Yeah, that's fine. And then you take those two or three books out of the 40 books that you want or that are worth $8-$9 or whatever, and you put those in. I mean, you have to have at least $40 worth of books in there. But all the others, you take and you put them down in what they call the quarter box. And in most comic shops, they have a quarter or 50 cents. Most of them now are like a dollar box. But it used to be the quarter box. You could rifle through there and pick out Hulk issue 271 or Iron Man 179, just random issues, whatever. And then, you know, I would go through the quarter box all the time, not because they're collectible, but because I would see like a character I wanted. Now I have the ability to look and go, oh, okay, this is worth this much. This is worth this much. I mean, I know the prices in my head. I kind of have this flowing price guide in my head. But that's when you go through the quarter box, you have to take that price guide, you put it off to the side, and you just go, what do I want to read? And sometimes if I go through the quarter box at a comic shop, I'll pick up crap like Casper the Friendly Ghost or Little Red Hot. Those were the comics that when I was really little, I loved. I loved like Little Red Hot the Demon or Casper the Friendly Ghost. Or you might get weird ones like Banana Split Gang or Bionic Woman, and just these like Charleston comics or what have you. And I would grab those just to read them. I also like G.I. Kelly and or G.I. Combat and Warzone Kelly. I loved war comics. I loved Western comics. I loved superhero comics. When I was a kid, horror comics were great. So I would just go through the quarter box, and be like, I got $3. And that means that I could get, the comics. And I'd go through and then, go up there and I got this
Yeah, but
comic
back
book.
when you were younger, any of those comics that were in the quarter box, are they worth anything now?
No, because that's the thing. In the quarter box, they're not pristine.
Yeah.
They're not mint comics. And that's the other thing. So let's say that you have Incredible Hulk issue 181. I'll look it up real quick while we're sitting here. So if you had incredible, like I said, Incredible Hulk issue 181 right now, that would be worth, if it was pristine, $9,400. So 10,000, almost $10,000 if you had it priced. So in mint condition, a 9.8 condition graded, it would be $95,000 for that comic, Incredible Hulk issue 181. Ungraded, it's worth $14,000. That's a huge difference. So you want to have them, that's a book you want to have graded. But if you got it out of a comic box, now it would be worth ungraded. It says poor 0.5. It would be worth $244 just as a crappy. Well, that's a huge difference from, the graded copy. But even the ungraded copy, the difference between $14,000 and $200 is huge. That's a bad example. I've got a couple of copies of that, and they're not 0.5s. But I don't have any graded issues of that. I have graded issues of certain books, and so for, let's say I sent my 181 in to be graded, right? Now, I think that my 181 is a really good comic. I would say that it's like very fine or near mint, right? So if it was 181, fine, near mint, it's $8,400. But if it was graded at that, it's over $10,000. And I have two of those books, and they're both in really good condition. Now, if you were, but some of those comics, like everyone always asks me, I hear this all the time, because I have a room in my house that is strictly the Punisher. Everything in the room is Punisher. I got a Punisher arcade game, Punisher statues, all the Punisher toys. I have like 300 Punisher shirts, every book he's been in, the British books. I have them in multiple languages. And they're like, oh, this is your favorite character. And I go, no, it's not. My favorite character is Jack of Hearts. I really like that character. But you don't see Jack of Hearts action figures. One, because there's so many colors on his costume, it's just not cost efficient for them to make. I will post on Rook and Titus's Instagram. I will post a picture of a Jack of Hearts action figure that I made back in like 89. We'll post that up there. And then
Now, is he that really weird looking guy that's got, isn't he a skinny guy?
Jack of Hearts?
Yeah.
No, that's Jack Skellington.
So that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah. I'll just write a note here real quick so I remember to post that picture. I'll take a picture of him and post him on there. It's an action figure I made. And when you see all the painting of him, you'll be like, oh, I see why they don't make an action figure, because they would have so many paint schemes, because they can, like, it's easy to paint Captain America. He's got a white star on his chest, blue top, red and white stripes on his body. But oh, here you go, Titus. I'll show you a picture of him. I made that in 1989, and it's a picture that I will post on our Instagram. as soon as this podcast posts, Jack of Hearts will be on there. So people have a rough idea. But that was a character. That's one of my favorite characters. Another favorite character of mine is Moon Knight. Now, they just, Disney Plus just had a Moon Knight miniseries. I liked it. It's not the Moon Knight I grew up with, but, you know, I'm not going to be all picky because the Wolverine I grew up with was only, he was like 5 foot tall. And Hugh Jackman obviously is bigger than Wolverine, but he's supposed to be a short, stubby little guy with a cigar and a bad attitude. And he had a brown and tan costume. Well, the other one is like in that black Wolverine costume, you know, the X-Men. I don't know. Movies have to change a lot of crap, and it's just not worth it. But anyway, so Jeff shows up with these crappy comics. I tell him to get the hell out of here because he stole that $100 bill from you. But that's the kind of thing that, you know, we have these people in our lives. Well, yesterday, a friend of mine from the Hollow Chronicles, Andy, you met Andy on the Hollow Chronicles. He called me up and he says, hey, I got this stack of comics for you that he wanted to give me. And I was like, oh, okay. And I said, hey, I got something for you. Because recently I bought a book and I gave it to Andy. And I bought a book and then I had a free book that I could buy at the same time. I bought this Anatomy of Superhero book and I had this free book that I could purchase. And so I went through the list of books and I found one and I was like, this is totally about Andy because it had lots of G.I. Joe and Star Wars stuff in it. And so I bought that and I gave it to Andy as a gift. He's like, oh man, I really appreciate it. So he was like, hey, I got these comics I want to give you because they're just sitting around for him. And I took them home and he stopped by the house, probably 15 comics, and they're readers. There's nothing in there that's worth any money. And I'm not looking to make a profit. But I did have this collection of little golden books. They're Star Wars little golden books with the yellow spine down it. And I had Star Wars A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, Phantom Menace. It was like all six movies. And then I want to grow up to be a Jedi. And I want to grow up to be a Wookiee. And all these little golden books. And I...
A Wookiee?
Yeah. And I said, here, Andy, you can just have these. I want to grow up to be a droid. So like R2-D2 and C-3PO. Yeah. So I gave those to Andy. And he was appreciative of them. So I have a request from a listener that wants to know if you have any stories about Peppa Pig.
If I have any stories?
I know. It's a British cartoon. You ever watch Peppa Pig?
About Peppa Pig? They're probably mistaking me for you.
No, they know me. And they said, do you have, do you or Titus have any stories about Peppa Pig? And I said, I'll ask him. Because do you even know what Peppa Pig is?
No.
Well, Peppa Pig is a British pig that talks like this. Yes, Daddy, I would love a lolly. And it's just a children's show, but about a pig. It's like a Picasso pig, too, because both Peppa's eyes are on the same side of the face. And they're basically, her eyes are either open or open big or closed. That's it. You know, it's real simple animation.
My mom said that there's a movie out. I think it's got Bruce Willis in it. Or no, maybe it was Nicolas Cage. And she said the movie's called Pig.
Oh, that is a great movie.
She said it is.
It no, not a good movie. Pig is an excellent, excellent movie.
She's been wanting me to watch it, and I think she sent it down here with me. One of these bags or something I got in my house.
Well, you should watch it. Watch it in a heartbeat.
Well, I told my mom, wasn't there another movie called Pig 2? Not Pig 2, but another one that was called Pig, I thought. Like a Walt Disney movie or something.
There's Babe, Pig in the City.
Now, what's the one where the guy closes the gate and he goes, that'll do, Pig.
Yeah, that's Babe.
Is that Babe?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
James Cromwell. Yeah,
I love that. That'll do, Pig.
That'll do, Pig.
That'll do.
Bar-am-you. Bar-am-you.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Yeah, this is. I love that movie.
Too. Every time the kids would watch it, I'd catch myself sitting down next to them. I'd be right in the middle of stuff. I'm like, well, I'll sit down and watch this for a couple minutes. And I might have watched the whole thing.
It is a good movie. Babe is one of those films that. Actually, you feel good when you watch it. You're like, oh, it's really fun, you know?
Yeah.
You better stop it, guys. We're going to get in trouble. You know, you're just like.
Oh, geez.
Get along, pig.
Whoever made that movie is either just lucky or a genius.
Yeah. No doubt. No doubt. That's a great movie. But no, Pig is about. Nicolas Cage is a chef,
mm-hmm.
and he uses his pig to hunt truffles.
Yeah.
And he's a chef that got tired of the rat race of the food industry. And so he just uses his pig to go out in the woods. They find truffles. Then he comes back to this old dilapidated cabin that he lives in. And then he makes amazing meals. Like, he's one of those guys that could take, like, 3 tomatoes, half pound of bacon, and a couple mushrooms, and it'd be the best meal you ever had. And someone kidnaps his truffle pig.
Yeah. Well, what brought that about is because the last couple Sundays, me and my mom's went on these long trips, and then I went to Seaside. Not this last Saturday, but the Saturday before. Did I say Sunday or Saturday?
Sunday.
Why do I keep getting confused? And I looked all over in the mountains up there and didn't find one centro. Not one. I think the season might be over before it even starts because it was so hot and then it got cold so fast.
So fast.
And it was just like a light switch, like somebody just turned it off. So it'll be interesting. I'm still going to go up and check just out of curiosity, probably here next, not this week, but maybe next week. I might drive up to Abernathy and just snoop around a little bit.
Now, you just eat chanterelles as a side dish. You don't supplement your food or anything like that with them, right?
No, I do. A lot of times I'll eat chanterelles with scrambled eggs, like the big thing of scrambled eggs and a big thing of chanterelles, because chanterelles just go great with scrambled eggs. There's something about them.
Yeah.
But what I have learned is I made this stew here, I think it was like 2 weeks ago, or I guess you'd call it like a pot roast / stew kind of in between, because I had cabbage that I put in it, and I put corn in it, and I put chanterelles, carrots, and stuff like that. But what I didn't realize is when I was eating it, I didn't realize how good chanterelles and corn taste together. It just made that whole thing just totally different. It was totally amazing. And then, like, the noodles that I got in my refrigerator right now, all it is hamburger, tomato, onion, and I cook the noodles. Actually, I cook the noodles with truffle oil, and it gives it a whole different taste. But as time goes on, that's why I'm trying to learn so much. Because as time goes on, I want to learn different recipes. Like, there's another mushroom out in the woods, and it's called the cauliflower mushroom. But the only problem is when you find them in the woods, you only find them about the size of a quarter. And I've never picked them because I've only come across a couple of them here and there. Well, about 3 years ago, I came across one that was like 3/4 the size of a 5-gallon bucket. It was huge because they can get that big. I've just never found them that big. Well, I stuck it in the 5-gallon bucket, came home and cooked it similar to like I cooked the chanterelles, but there's the recipe that I looked up online called for olive oil to be put in this and then some other weird spice. So, you know what? I just went with it. I was like, it's their recipe. I'll try it. It sounds good. That mushroom turned out amazing. And then So I had all the kids come in and try that mushroom. And I said, which one do you guys like better, this mushroom or the Santrell mushroom? And nobody could make up their mind because they were both really great in their own way. So then I had this genius thought. I pulled out a big old bag of bacon, fried up that bacon, and then I fried up some onions, and I mixed the bacon, onions, that mushroom, and Santrell mushrooms with some fried potatoes, and it was probably one of the greatest things I've ever ate in my life. Which bothers me, because since then, I have yet to come across a cauliflower mushroom that big.
Where'd you find it?
Abernathy.
Abernathy, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And every year when I go up there, I look in the same area that I found it, and no luck. It was just growing on the side of a log. It was about that big. And when I picked up the 5 gallon, put it in the 5 gallon bucket, it took up about 3/4 of the 5 gallon bucket. And the one I found, kind of like your comic books, was probably worth some money because it was a pristine mushroom. You can, because a lot of times they say in the book, cauliflower mushrooms, a lot of people will take them home and wash them off because the bugs get in them and eat them, and then they cut a certain amount of them away. And I'm thinking, you know, if I'm finding them about the size of a golf ball, there's no sense in even picking them if there's any damage to them.
Right.
But when I found that one, that particular one, and I pulled it up and inspected it all over, I mean, it was beautiful. It was a good find. I'd rather find another one of those than a piece of gold. And I told a guy down at work, because there's a guy we work with, he works in packaging, and he told me that he's found two of them this year, and he found one about that big, and he said the guy that he sold it to only gave him $14 for it. And I told him, I said, well, if you find another one that big, bring it to me. I'll give you $30 for it. I go, don't even waste your time taking it to that guy. So, but I think it's just fun going out in the woods, having a great day, a little bit of walkabout and seeing wildlife and finding shrooms, and then coming home and trying to find different things to cook with them. It's fun all the way around. You have fun out doing it. Then when you get home, you have fun experimenting with them.
Right, right. Yeah, I totally get that.
And you really can't go wrong with Santrells, because you can even burn Santrells and I'll still eat them. Because Santrells is one of those mushrooms that if you cook it, it's got great flavor. But if you burn it, it kind of tastes like bacon. Only if you burn it. That's just me. I mean.
So, do you have any good raccoon stories?
Why does viewers want or listeners want to know about the raccoon?
Well, no, because the other day I was going out to my car and there was a big raccoon sitting right in front of my car.
I have loaned Jeff my trap at work because he's been having raccoon problems. I guess the raccoons have been eating his chickens.
Oh.
I mean, he's not too happy about it. And I guess that it got real bad because his wife's chicken got eaten.
His wife's chicken?
Yeah. So anyways, a couple of his chickens got killed, and he was pretty mad about it. And then he was at work. He comes up to me. He's on the phone. He goes, hey, I got to borrow your trap. And I see him talking on the phone a little bit. He gets on the phone. He goes, they ate my wife's chicken. So you don't want to act on it until your wife's chicken gets eaten, I guess.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because.
But then you got to put up with her.
If you have one chicken, it's a pet.
Yeah.
And then it's a family member. Because we used to have chickens that slept in my bedroom. And they came up to you and they liked it when you scratched them behind the head like a cat. So. I couldn't imagine. And the only reason that we kept them in the bedroom is because the skunks would get to them.
Yeah. Well, that was another thing I told him. I said, you got to be careful. I go, it might be a skunk. And he goes, skunks will do that? And I go, oh, yeah. He goes, skunks are chicken killing fools.
Oh, yeah. Skunk will tear a chicken up.
Yep. In a heartbeat. But he caught a possum. And... But I told him, I said, I don't think possums would be it. But then one thing he did say that does make sense, he said that his chickens don't run or move very at all when it's nighttime. He goes, when they're on the roost, he goes, I can walk right out there and grab them. And he goes, so maybe a possum can just walk.
Crawl. I just don't see possums being chicken eating predators.
No, I don't either.
Yeah, I've never heard of a possum eating a chicken.
I mean, I
could be wrong.
I wouldn't rule it out, but. I imagine in the history of time, it's probably happened.
Yeah.
But how common is it? It's probably not common. If you're losing chickens, my guess it's either a skunk or a raccoon.
Right, right.
And possibly a weasel.
Yeah, it could be a weasel. I did see a weasel not that, like, less than half a block away from where we work. And Jeff lives not that far away.
What the hell was that creature that was down there at work a couple years ago? It was like a weasel, but I can't remember what it was called. Was it one of those minks or whatever it was? It was a brown color.
Oh, I didn't hear about it.
Well,
was it a ferret?
No, it wasn't a ferret. Maybe it is a weasel.
Yeah, maybe. But I mean, they're all weasels, minks, ferrets. They're all weasel family.
There's a certain one. Well, when I was going out to the propane tanks, there was one that used to come up and greet me. And he was kind of, hey, little guy. And he kind of come right up to my foot, and I wouldn't think nothing of it. Well, when I was in the coop repair, this should tell you how long ago this was. I was sitting in there one day, and I go out to where Kenny racks his metal at. And I looked down, and there was another one. And he was a brown one, and I took a picture of him. And I showed him Kenny, and I told Kenny, yeah, there used to be one that used to come out to the propane tank. He used to greet me out to the propane tank. So I looked up this particular animal, whatever.
It sounds more like an otter. Because otters are really friendly, and they'll come up to you.
Yeah, but this guy's little.
But otters can range in size.
No, it's not an otter.
Like a sea otter can be like 2 foot long, but most river otters are about 18 inches long.
Yeah, because this one, I looked up the picture of it, and I did the research on it. And what it said about it, it says that they're very mean, and they come up to you to kind of get closer to you, and then it says they will actually run up your legs and bite your junk. And it says the best way to deal with them is kill them. If they come up to you, don't even deal with them, kill them.
There's weasels, ferrets, marmots.
What is a mink?
A mink. A mink is a big weasel.
So I wonder if that's what it was, is a mink.
Well, minks are vicious little critters.
Well, then that's probably what it was, because this is the best way to deal with it is kill it, because it'll run up your leg and bite your junk.
But you can also have minks as pets.
I'm not having anything as a pet that's notorious for junk biting. So
it could also be a marten.
Marten.
A marten looks a lot, I mean, marten and ferret and weasel. I mean, they're all weasel family.
Yeah, when you start looking them up, there's a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot. Yeah. Okay, well, we'll get to our next segment of our show, and that segment is... And tell me, Titus, what have you purchased lately?
Well, it's not a matter of what I've purchased. It's a matter of what I haven't purchased. Because I bought a cordless, battery-operated ratchet.
Milwaukee or what?
Yeah, Milwaukee.
The Milwaukee cordless ratchet.
So that whole setup was, because it came with two batteries, a charger, and that whole setup came to $169 with tax.
So that's not bad.
And then I bought a job box, and I don't know if they even know what that is, but a job box is basically a big box, like a toolbox.
It's like a giant toolbox that you could put a lawnmower in.
Yeah, and that cost me like $500, and it was, with tax, it was close to $550.
What are you going to store in the job box?
Well, at work, I'm going to put all the big stuff in it, because I wanted to get a couple pipe wrenches, like the kind that you have, so I don't have to always go in your pump house and snag one. But stuff like that, big tools, I'm going to put it in there so I don't have to put it in my other toolbox and crowbars. And basically on weekends when I'm working with Kenny, I want something that we can just throw everything in that box, pick it up with a heister, and take it to where we're going. So I'm not running back and forth to the shop 200 different times.
Well, that's a good idea.
And then I bought five rims, and those cost me... I want to say close to a little over $800. And then I bought new tires that cost me $1,100. And then universal joints cost me like $170. And then it seems like there's something I'm missing.
Well, in the last 2 weeks, I bought 2 DeWalt grinders. I bought 4 batteries. They were $179 each.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Man, I can't believe how much batteries cost. But $179 for each 5 ampere hour batteries. I bought 2 grinders so that I wouldn't have to change back and forth from slitter wheel to flapper disc. And then I bought this little cool charging unit that... So if the battery on my phone or something goes low, I can use my DeWalt battery and charge my phone. Or I can use it because I wear headphones at work all the time. I could use, if my headphones say low, I can grab a 20-volt battery, pop it on there, run a cable up to the headphones, and charge them while I'm listening.
Yeah, I see. That's pretty cool. But one thing I will point out, how you were talking about how you bought two... grinders, one for a saw pad and one for a slitter wheel, pretty much.
Yeah.
That is so annoying when you're right in the middle of doing something and you got to stop to switch that out.
Yeah, that, and people don't realize that, you know, because like on my welding table in my shop, I keep a grinder with a slitter wheel, I keep a grinder with a wire brush, and I keep a grinder with a flapper disc on it.
Yeah.
See, when a sanding disc, I guess
people when would I was, say. When I was in the coupe shop, that's why I always had 2 grinders. Because right in the middle of welding, if you have to cut something real quick, you can reach up, cut it, and then go right back to welding. And then if you need to, like, sand it down a little bit, it is nothing's more of a pain in the ass being right in the middle of a weld and only having to cut something for 2 or 3 seconds and then have to set everything down, take that off, and fight with it, and put a new one on.
Well, I bought a power unit that I attach to my welding table so that I can run multiple grinders on it because the battery powered grinders I'm taking to work. And so, because they're going to be work grinders. And then I have 4 DeWalt handheld grinders because I use them for different purposes in my shop. But it's always nice to have a grinder. And then I have a grinder at home that I keep a disc and a flapper wheel and a wire brush with it in a bag because if I need it, then I don't, because I'm not going to do any major projects. I'm going to either cut something, grind something. I keep a grind. Oh, that was the 4th one. I have on my 4th DeWalt on my welding table, I have an actual grinding pad as opposed to a slitter wheel. Because sometimes you just want to grind some metal. Just sometimes you go, I want to grind some metal. I want to shoot some sparks.
Just something. What else have you been doing out there all night? I've told me just out there grinding some metal.
That's one of the things I always annoys me when I watch like Star Trek and stuff like that. They'll have, like, they're in a battle scene. All of a sudden gas is coming out. And I'm like, that's CO2. You know, they show a broken pipe and it's steam coming out. I'm like, it's just CO2. Or they'll be walking down a corridor and sparks are coming from the ceiling. And I'm like, that's someone up above them with a grinder just shooting sparks down. It's like sci-fi effects. But if you work in the industry, you realize there's like nothing shoots sparks like that. If you had a wire that was shooting sparks like that, it would do it for 2 seconds and then it would burn up. But you watch like on Star Trek in the background, you see all these sparks coming out of something. And you're like, that's a guy that's offset. He's got a grinder. Mm-hmm. He's probably shooting, like, hitting mild steel or magnesium board. And he's just blowing sparks all over. And it's supposed to be equipment that's sparking. You're like, man, not in the real world.
Not in the real world.
No. No, that's bullshit.
Because sometimes, I've even grinded before sometimes where you hardly even see any sparks. Just because of what it is, like if it's got too thick of paint or something on it.
And then you see these movies where the guys hit a steam pipe and it blows out all that steam. But it's not. It's just CO2 coming out. Because if it was steam, you would endanger the actor. He would just be like, you know, even if he's burned by a steam pipe, steam comes out so fast and so hot and so hard. You're like, that's not steam. Because it's like these clouds that come out. No. Steam clouds, they don't actually have pipes full of steam. It's like as soon as the steam came out, it would run for about 2 seconds, and then it would be hot water scalding the guy. Because it's not going to be a pipe full of steam. It's going to be hot water that you use for steam. But as soon as that steam evacuates the system, it's going to be hot water. So that's one of those things. It's like you watch those movies and you go, oh, bullshit. Even when Arnold Schwarzenegger does it, he's hanging around. He's got a pipe through his chest and steam's coming out of it. You're like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Well, the Kimco, speaking of steam, I'm just thinking of the Kimco. Do you realize how loud that thing is?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
When I was at my mom's house a couple times coming out of her house back when I was taking Sebs and Luna to my mom's, I'd be out in the front yard and I could hear it. My mom's front yard. Pretty clear. And I said something to my mom. My mom's like, yeah, what the hell is that? And I'm like, it's just a piece of equipment down at work making its big old whistle sound.
Great. So we'll get to the last segment of our show. And that segment is, Titus, what do you recommend to our listeners either to watch, to listen to, or to read, or perhaps even to eat? That wasn't a magic fairy. That was my Ring camera going off on my phone.
Well, I can't recommend to eat the things that I eat because a lot of people don't have access to Santrail mushrooms.
Now, you say Santrail, but it's Chanterelle.
Yes.
Okay.
But I say it the way I want to say it because I am who I am.
Yeah, okay. I just want to clarify.
Well, when you look in mushroom books, period, the technical words for a lot of them, most people couldn't even pronounce if they had decades to try to pronounce it. It's crazy.
Well, that's not true. All you would have to do is take a Latin class.
Yeah, but who's going to go out and be like, oh, I'm going to take a Latin class? And then a lot of these people, they, like, when I was growing up as a kid, your morel mushroom, I used to hear people call them pecker mushrooms. And I'm like, it doesn't even look like a pecker.
Well, it's a morel.
Yeah, but I don't see how they think it looks like a pecker.
I don't either. Let's not go into it. So what do you recommend, though?
Buying tires.
You recommend buying tires?
I recommend being just like me. In cold weather, go out and buy some tires.
I walked out this morning to snow, and I'm glad I had new tires on my car. I do have to go pick up a new battery for it, though.
Yeah.
And I went to Les Schwab the other day, and I stopped by, and I said, hey, I want to get a new battery for my car. The place was packed. She's like, it's a 3-hour wait. I was like, nah, I'm out of here. She goes, well, do you want to just buy the battery or you want it installed? And I go, well, actually, I'd rather have it installed. It's such a pain in the neck. But I think I'm going to break down, leave here, and go across the street and buy a battery.
And cost less?
Yeah.
How's it a pain? Is it because of your car?
Yeah, because it's in the floorboard.
Oh, I get you.
Yeah. And because of cold weather, and because even though I have all these tools, I don't like to work on cars.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm doing. I mean, when I was a kid, I would have never paid to have my universal joints replaced. But now that I'm age up now and I look at the weather, I'm like, you know what? I just don't really want to do that.
Yeah, just take it in the shop.
Well, see, if I still had a house that had a shop in the back of it, then I would be okay with that, but I don't.
Like, yeah, so I don't. My shop, I can't drive a car into because there's always cars parked in front of the shop. So I can go into it and work on metal or do woodworking or what have you. But I can't, I guess I could, but but I'd have to move all the other cars to drive my car in there to work on it. And to me, it doesn't justify it to replace a battery on my car to move all the other cars just so that I'm a little... It's still cold in there. There's no heat in the shop.
Now, you having problems with your battery, or are you just replacing it because of the cold weather?
It's starting real sluggish in the morning. But I've had the car for 5 years, and it's the original battery, so I don't know how long they had it in there before I bought it.
Well, me, I was on this kick that I'd always buy a new battery every winter, right before winter, because your vehicle only breaks down on 2 days out of the year, the hottest day or the coldest day, and it's a pain in the ass to work on. So for years, I'd buy new batteries, and my brother goes, "Did you just buy a battery last year?" And I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "Well, that one's brand new." I'm like, "Yeah, but I don't like doing shit in the snow or in the wet, cold. I'm not taking my chances. I'm just replacing it."
Well, until this cold weather came, my car wasn't acting up at all, but it's been acting up in the cold weather. So
I'm not worried about it because I got a new battery too.
Well, I have
that truck right there. It's got a brand new battery in it.
I have a new battery in my truck. So if I went out and I carry my truck keys on me in case my car doesn't start in the morning, I can always just take 3 steps to my truck and drive my truck to work and then deal with the battery the next day. Just put a quick jump on it and head to the shop.
I got one for you. One of the things that I forgot, I bought a lug wrench. And I went over to I always forget the name of that, Harbor Freight. And I went in there because the tires that I had on this black truck, I'm going to put them on the green one because the green one's got a lot of flats on it. And so I thought, well, I'll just put these tires on the green one so I can get rid of those. So I go to Harbor Freight, and I'm looking all over for this lug wrench. Well, finally I buy it, and I go up to the cash register. This guy comes flying in like a house on fire. He's got this little kid's hand in his hand, and he's yelling at the kid. And he runs up to the lady counter and goes, "Hey, you got a phone? He goes, "When I was in here a while ago, before I left, my son had my cell phone and he lost it. So it's somewhere here in the store." And you know from experience, just when we were in there, think about how many tweakers are in and out of there.
Probably
are still in tools. So it is not a good place to lose anything. So I handed the guy my phone. I go, "Here, just use my phone and call it and maybe walk to the store. Maybe it'll ring and find it." So he goes, he reaches in his back pocket, he pulls out his wallet, and he goes, "Well, here's my wallet." And he hands me his wallet, and he grabs my phone, and he's just mobbing through the store, right? So I thought, why the hell did he give me his freaking wallet? And I thought, oh, makes sense. Give me his wallet because he's got my phone. I was like, all right, I get you. So I'm sitting there for the longest time, and he's yelling. He is, you could tell. And then when he came back up, he goes, I can't find it. And you can literally see his hands shaking, right? And he goes, he hands my phone back to me. And he asked me, because he was getting ready to walk out. I said, "Whoa, wait a minute." I said, "Don't want to forget your wallet. Don't want to lose 2 things. So she's like, yeah, where is my wallet?" I go, "It's sitting right behind the counter." I said, "When you hand it to me," I hand it to the lady behind right there. And I told her, "Put it underneath on the shelf on the counter." So it's right there. So she reaches out, grabs it, hands the guy. So he goes walking off the side of the store. So I walked to the store, and I hit his number again. And I'm walking down the aisle, and I don't hear his phone anywhere. And I just happened to glance down on this box, and it was sitting there. So I yelled at the guy, and he comes over, and I said, "The reason why you can't find your phone," I go, "your ringtone is turned down too low. You can barely hear it." And I said, "It's right there." He goes, "Oh, God, thanks." And he grabs his phone, puts his phone in his pocket. He pulls out his wallet and he starts pulling money out, trying to hand me money. I said, "No." He goes, no. I said, "No." And he goes, "Are you sure?" And I go, "Yeah, dude, you're good." And he goes, and I don't know what he meant about thousands of dollars, but he goes, "I got thousands of dollars wrapped up in this phone and contracts and all." And he was trying to explain it to me because he owns a business. And he was trying to explain that to me, and which I don't know what he really meant by it, but obviously that phone was pretty important to him because you could see him shaking. He was that scared. His hands were shaking. So I get out the parking lot. As we're going out the parking lot, he hands me his business card. And he tells me, he goes, "If you ever need anything, he'll just call me. Let me know." He goes, "I own a business and everything." And I'm like, all right. So I get out in the parking lot. And I get in the truck, and as I'm driving out of the parking lot, I seen this big, like, what are those called? I can't think of the name. Trucks with all that big stuff on it.
Like a work truck?
An industrial work truck or whatever.
Right.
And this truck has pulled up next to me, and it was him, and he goes, "Remember what I said?" He goes, "Thank you, man." He goes, "You don't know how much I appreciate it." And then he drove off. As I was leaving the parking lot, I started laughing, and I thought, you know what I should have did? I should have just screwed with the guy. I should have just been like, you know what I've really been wanting? Because McDonald's is right across the street. I really would just appreciate it if you just go across the street and get me a Happy Meal with chicken nuggets. That would just mean the world to me. Be serious about it. And as soon as he drives off, just...
So one of the guys I work with the other day,
with Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This reminds me, that reminds me of a story. So one of the guys the other day, he's gone for like 4 days, right? Because his aunt died and he had to fly to Hawaii for the funeral. So Tara comes in and she's like, "Why are you here so early?" And I go, "Well, Catfill got fired." And she's like, "What?" And I go, "Yeah, Catfill got fired." And she goes, "Why'd they fire Catfill?" I go, "Cause," and I'm just standing in the lunchroom. I go, "Because he was taking snacks out of the machine and not paying for it. And they caught him on camera." And she's like, "Oh my God, I can't believe it." And I go, "Yeah." And she goes, "That's crazy." And I go, "Yeah, I'm lying to you." And she goes, "Oh, no, I couldn't even tell you were lying." And so, "Hey, I want to show you something." So I go out and I show her something in my office. And while she's standing there, she goes, "Why is he gone?" And I go, "Oh, he actually got fired for something else." And I said, I was joking about the snacks. And she's like, "Oh, well, what did he get fired for?" And I go, "Nothing. I'm just showing you that I could fake it no matter what. You would believe me no matter what I said." And she's like, "Oh my God, you suck so bad." She's like, "How can you do that? How can you just say that so straight faced?" And I go, "No, his aunt died. He went to..."
Which is very dangerous. Hang on. Throw that.
His aunt died. He's in Hawaii right now. He'll be back on Monday. She was just like, "You were so dead faced." And I go, "Yeah, all I have to do is think about my home life, and I never crack a smile.
Think about my home life."
Okay, now I was going to say, I do have two recommendations for our listeners since we got past your lug nut story.
Yeah, lug nut story.
Okay, I recommend two books, and I read them both this week. What's crazy is we had 2 days off this week, and because we had 2 days off this week, I still had 13 hours of overtime. You tell me how I do that.
Yeah.
I can have 2 days off, I get holiday pay for one of the days, and I still have 13 hours of overtime. That's insane. Yeah. So, that being said, I recommend a book by... Well, these are two authors that I have read over the years. You can check them out on YouTube. They're great men. I think the world of them. But one is Richard Dawkins, and the book is called The God Delusion. And the other is Christopher Hitchens, God Is Not Great. And basically, if you are a theist, you believe in God or a higher power or whatever, and you read these books, if you read those books with an open mind, you will become an atheist because it explains all the voodoo of religion, all the perspective of religion that sucks people in. But they are God Is Not Great and The God Delusion. I love those books. There's a... Christopher Hitchens wrote a book, Hitch 22, that I read years ago when it came out. The late, great Christopher Hitchens, he's not only a hero of mine, he has a vocabulary like none, and I totally respect him on an intellectual level, and I always respected his forthrightness and his frankness and how he could just lay the facts out, and he could go into a debate or an argument with anyone. And because he was well armed with an intellect and a knowledge of the subject, he would always win. Now, Richard Dawkins, he's a biologist that he's also an atheist, but his stuff, sometimes I have issues with it because they wanted to like call atheists brights, because atheists are bright and they're smart and they,
you're so bright.
Yeah, and I have
a bright guy.
I have a problem with that because
you don't. I would love to be able to just say, "Hey, you're such a bright guy."
But as an atheist, I'm just an atheist because we have in record over 3,000 gods, right? Thor, Odin, Zeus, Jupiter. We have all these gods, and people don't believe in them. They only believe in one god. I just believe in one god less.
Yeah.
Right. So I understand.
So what you're saying is they don't believe in 2,999 some gods, and you just believe in, you just disbelieve in 3,000.
They disbelieve.
You go for the even number.
Or lack thereof.
Yeah, maybe. But what I recommend, I want to recommend a book too.
Oh.
I want to recommend a book for the church-going people.
Billy Goat's Gruff.
Nope. For the
people. Ruth.
Nope. Well, that one too. But the people who actually go to church, I recommend all the books that are in the Bible for them to read.
Well, I became an atheist years ago because I was
in the book.
I was in a Bible study class. Going in the Bible study class, we would read, a parable, and they would say, it's this scripture through this scripture, like the story of Job, and they would give you the verses of Job to read. And then a friend, I consider him a friend, but Dave, he said, hey, have you ever thought about just reading the Bible from the beginning to the end? And so I was like, yeah, sure. And because I was religious at the time, I read the Bible from the beginning to end. And it took me a couple weeks to do. I'm not going to lie. It was a long, drawn out, especially when you get to Proverbs and Psalms. There's, it's like Revelation's exciting. Daniel's exciting. There are exciting books of the Bible.
Yeah, but the first couple are not so exciting.
But then what happened was, then I had questions about just Genesis, Noah's Ark. And I was like, let me ask you some questions about Noah's Ark. And we would go through it. And then he would have these, well, this is a parable. And I'm like, it doesn't say it's a parable. It says it's a fact.
Yeah.
And, and then we would have it.
Because God wouldn't say it if it wasn't true.
Right. And then we would have long discussions over that. And then I was like, I'm going to reread it. So I reread the Bible, but from the perspective of maybe it's not true. And then when I read the Bible, every book of the Bible, from beginning to end, now it still took me a couple of weeks to read it, but I went, this is bullshit. It's, if you read it from a perspective of like reading any other book, because I read it like it was the Word of God. And when you read it like any other book, you see all the faults, you see all the problems, you see the contradictions. And having read it once, I didn't catch a lot of the stuff that I went, wait a minute.
Yeah.
They're talking about Judas and the silver. And wait, the first time he took the silver and he gave it back, but the second time,
well, see,
the story of Judas is told, he took it and bought acreage. It's like, that's contradictory. So which one's true?
Yeah. Well, when I read it in the terms of kind of like the voice of God too. But I immediately started thinking, this, a lot of it not adding up. And where one of the points that I got to that really kind of disturbed me, when I got to the part of the Bible where it talks about how you're supposed to treat your slaves. And I'm like, wait a minute. Why would I have slaves if I have God looking over me? Or what about the slaves? They're not equal to God as I am?
And right.
Took me.
Yeah,
took me back right there. And I was like, wait a minute, I got to really start.
Yeah, the book of Exodus, where not only does God say it's okay to have slaves, but then he goes through and gives you the rules on owning a slave.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking
about. It's like, that's fucked up. I don't care who you are. That's fucked up. Because if I wrote my Ten Commandments, having a day set aside special for me wouldn't be on the list.
Yeah, I mean,
but, and coveting thy neighbor's wife, like, if your neighbor's wife is hot, you could think, I want to fuck her in your head, and it doesn't hurt anyone, yeah, right? Fucking her will hurt your neighbor. He'll never loan you the mower again. But,
yeah.
But, you know, but thinking it in your head, now that's a thought crime. That's more like George Orwell's 1984. So, but what I would add is, don't touch a child inappropriately, and don't own other people.
Yeah.
Those are two things that should be in the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
Don't own another person, and don't touch a child inappropriately. Don't speak to a child inappropriately. Yeah. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Or, you know, you have Catholic priests that are showing the rod to the child, you know?
Yeah, well, here's another thing. I was listening to Joe Rogan's podcast here just a while ago. It came up on one of my YouTube things. And he was talking to this guy. And I'm sure the guy's famous. I just didn't know who he was. But the guy told Joe Rogan the statistics on how many kids get molested through not just one particular religion, throughout all the religions in the United States. And it was such a high percentage. It was like, why would anybody want to even be a part of that or associate with that or be like, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, I don't want to be associated with 82% of child touching in the United States comes from that shit.
Yeah, no kidding.
Me and you were on a football team. Like, let's say the football team is called the Red Ravens. And all of a sudden, one guy turns out to be a chimo on our football team. And then, next thing you know, another one does. Well, when I walked in town, I'm like, fuck that team. I'm not playing with them. I'm not playing for the Red Ravens. I don't want to be associated with that team.
Yeah.
I'm going to go play for the Colts or the Pigs or the Flamingos. There's no way I'm going to play for that football team now that it's associated with that. Because you'd never live it out down or get out from underneath it if you're walking around with a football jersey. It's got that shit on it.
When I say Michael Jackson, what do you think? You know exactly. Yeah. And yet Michael Jackson was one of the greatest singers of all time. It's never been proved that he touched a child, but we all know he did.
And I also think of the moonwalk. Wait a minute. You just said, what do you think of when you say Michael Jackson? What if I don't want to think about it?
There's a great movie. It's a documentary that was on called Mea Culpa. And Mea Culpa is a Latin term. There again, Latin is important, yeah, and it means to acknowledge one's faults. So that if I say, mea culpa, this is the problem I did, this is the thing I did wrong, I acknowledge it, done, mea culpa. And but it was a documentary called Mea Culpa, and it was basically these guys that got together and they met on the internet, and they both grew up in the same Catholic church. And they were both assaulted by the same priest. And then they got together and they kind of built this group of young boys that were altar boys and then the choir together that were all sexually assaulted by this priest. Then they confronted him. Totally recommend that. That the documentary Mea Culpa, not to be confused with.
So that's a book or it's a movie?
It's a documentary. It's a movie.
Oh, well, I'd watch that.
Yeah. And not to be confused with Michael Cohen's podcast, Mea Culpa, which is really good. So we started off with talking about mushrooms, and we ended up with child porn.
Yeah.
So pedophilia. So
pedophilia.
Well-rounded episode. We covered all the hobbies.
Yeah.
So you got anything left to say, Titus?
Just keep your hands off little kids, and oh my gosh.
And yeah, definitely keep your hands off little kids. And oh my gosh, I want to thank you guys. And we appreciate you guys now acknowledging that we are now an every other week podcast. We have gone to bi-weekly because it's just too goddamn much work to be weekly. So as a, when this one comes out, it will be the second time that we have had a every other week podcast. We appreciate it. This way, in case one of us is sick or we got problems down the road, we can have it. It gives us an easier buffer to go in and fill in and have an extra podcast sitting in the backside. We want to say thank you for everyone for listening, sharing, and subscribing. Check us out, rookandtitus.com. Go to our P.O. Box 572, Longview, Washington, 98632. You guys be good to each other. Check us out at rookandtitus.com. We're going to be updating the website. Started working on it last night. It will all be new for you. Take care of yourselves, and we're out of here. Blah, 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 blah.